Blog Talk Radio.
More, but hey, we got a show to do. What can I say? Anyway, how you doing? This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur. I am your Chief Profitability Officer, your Sales and Profit Evangelist, if you will. Welcome. Thank you for listening in. What we do is we show you how to maximize your profits, your business opportunities. We teach you the best practices for profitability and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. Are you listening? We want you to listen. Learn, enjoy, and share. Again, thanks for listening in. If you want to check out the website for Blog Talk Radio, it's www.blogtalkradio.com/E3C. That's blogtalkradio.com/E3C. E3C stands for Entrepreneurship, Empowerment, and Evolution. And what does the C stand for? It stands for Connect, Collaborate, and Create Opportunity. The call-in line is 646-716-7099. That's 646-716-7099. Today we're talking about net weaving versus networking. Now people say, what net weaving? What is that? Networking is different from net weaving. We're going to talk about that. So networking versus net weaving, what is the difference? And what are the benefits of net weaving? We have Bob Littell coming on line in a few minutes. Bob is going to talk about the concept of net weaving that he created. I'm so excited to bring him on the call. He's going to share with us positive benefits of applying it to your business. What is net weaving? You know, what is the difference between networking and net weaving? How does net weaving work? And what are the benefits and advantages? What are the positive results that you can have by adopting the net weaving philosophy? Check out his website, www.netweaving.com. That's www.netweaving.com. But with that, before we run out of time, I'm going to bring Bob on the show right now. So, Bob.
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Welcome, okay. Bob Littell. How are you? You are the master.
Well, I'm the chief net weaver. I have to live up to my reputation.
Thank you for being on the show. And again, listeners, if you want to put a question in, we only got a limited amount of time, but the call-in line is 646-716-7099. So Bob, you're my net weaving god, if you will. I bow down to you. I was
Send money instead of bowing down. Would you do that, Ken?
Okay. Oh, yeah, we can do that. I guess I have to sell your books.
That's right.
Anyway, we're going to talk about net weaving. So we're going to just jump into this. How did you get this First of all, what is net weaving? Let's start there.
Well, yeah, the one liner, Ken, is that net weaving is a golden rule and a pay it forward form of networking. And let me make sure right off the bat that people don't get the idea that net weaving is an attack on networking. If you're going to be successful, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you better be doing both. But the problem that I had, and I think many other people had, with the concept of networking is that it tends to be, one, too superficial, people looking out only for their own interests. And you've been to a networking event of any kind, Ken, and I know you can identify with this, where you're having a conversation and someone all of a sudden realizes you are not an immediate prospect for them. And from direct eye contact, the eyes start shifting to left shoulder, right shoulder, and they're looking for their next landing spot. So the first weakness that I identified with more traditional networking is the superficiality. The second weakness and the big difference between net weaving and networking is a lack of follow-up, and it's very important that I distinguish between the terms follow-up and follow-through. The weakness of most networking, and this can apply to net weaving too, is that people have a great conversation at that networking event. Oh, gosh, Ken, let's get together next week. Let's have breakfast, lunch, or a cup of coffee or whatever. And then a week goes by. You exchange business cards. And 2 weeks later, you look at that business card, and not only can you not remember what you talked about, you can't remember what they looked like. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, absolutely.
So all I've really done with net weaving is a couple of things. One, I've given a name to a word that many of the most successful people who truly believe in relationship building as the way to network, I've given a definition and a word to describe what they were doing before I ever came up with a word. But the second thing that I've done, and I think this is more important, I've developed a series of skill sets and action steps that people can actually take regardless of where they stand today as a net weaver and work up to a point where they're an established and a very creative and productive net weaver.
And you actually have a test.
Oh, boy, yeah. In fact, I would really encourage any of your listeners to go to the Net Weaving website. It's free. Also, there's no cookie tracking, so you don't have to worry about all of a sudden getting 27,000 follow-up emails.
That happens.
But the concept is that it's divided into four. The test is divided into four categories. One is your general outlook towards the concept of altruism, your idea of doing something for someone without immediate thought for how am I going to benefit from this. Then the second three categories, and of course there's sub-questions under each of these that you grade yourself. The second three are the three skill sets. Number one, how to become a better connector of other people with their needs, problems, and opportunities in mind rather than just your own. Second skill set, learning how to position yourself as a no-strings-attached resource provider for others so that over time you develop this reputation as being a go-to person where people call up and say, Ken, I got to be honest with you. I know this has nothing to do with your business, but you've got such an incredible network and you're so well connected. Here's a problem I've got. Do you have any suggestions? That's the kind of reputation you want. The third skill set is tied into the second, and that is learning over your career to build a trusted resource network. Now, this is another fallacy with traditional networking, that I'm going to go to a meeting and meet someone for the first time, have a two-minute conversation and immediately say, well, you know, Bill, I want to introduce you to my top client. You know, before there's trust involved, I've seen the quality of someone's work. Now, if Ken Brown recommends that and Ken comes up and introduces you and just starts raving about how incredible you are and you've worked with him for years and years, now that's another matter. But the point is you build a trusted resource network made up of people who are exceptional at what they are. And so you take the quiz, and depending on your score, you either score as a natural net weaver, been doing it all your life, just never had a word for it, a net weaver in the wings, meaning you've done a lot of it, but you can see a couple areas you could improve. A net weaver's apprentice, meaning you've got several areas that you see where you really need to improve. And then I struggled with, what do I call that bottom category? A self-serving individual who only is concerned about their own so to be politically correct, I came up with the term a net weaving skeptic.
Okay. Yeah, and your website is www.netweaving.com.
.com,
right?
That's correct.
Listening.
Yep.
And listen to this podcast later, because I do put it on several different websites that
that's
you can
great.
Check out and listen to this conversation that we're
that's
having.
That's great.
So net weaving is a skill that can be learned.
Absolutely. In fact, the skill sets are learning how to be a better connector is natural for some people. It's natural for you and I are more gregarious types, Ken. But, you know, there's a lot of more highly analytical and technologically oriented people who in some ways are true introverts. And what I found is when I'm speaking to an audience or when I'm working with someone who's highly analytical, what their goal in life is to be recognized as a helpful, creative problem solver. And so when I'm dealing with a more analytical person, I tend to put more emphasis on the second and the third skill sets, learning how to position themselves as a resource for others so that they will get recognition and thanks for having supplied either their resources on a no-strings-attached basis, or now that they've learned how to build this trusted resource network, which for highly analytical people can come very, very easily. Then, interestingly enough, when they really get good at the second and the third skill sets, many of them get a higher degree of confidence and back into wanting to be a better connector of other people.
Wow. This is what I've found. People are selfish. They're always looking at what's in it for me, and so net weaving really breaks through that and serves as a model to help.
Well, but Ken, I take issue with that. Some people are selfish, and the reason I want to bring this up is this concept is not for everyone.
Uh-huh.
Here's what I tell the how-to of net weaving, because this is a good segue. The real how-to of net weaving is learning how to host meetings, either virtually over the internet or the telephone, or in person, where I'm physically in an in-person meeting, hosting a meeting to introduce someone who I simply believe would benefit meeting the other person. And those meetings can either be strategic, meaning I already know up front how the two people can very well benefit each other, or they can be non-strategic, meaning I call up and I say, Ken, you know, I just thought of somebody named Mary Jones, and I got to be real honest with you, Ken. I haven't the slightest idea what the two of you have in common, but you're both givers, and you're both very creative people. And I think the two of you, if I put you together, you'll come up with ways to help each other, and you'll also discover people you know in common you never would have guessed. So the fact of the matter is, Ken, I tell people now, because I used to be defensive on this, listen, if you host a meeting, and especially if you're there to moderate it, introduce the net weaving concept, and then basically sit back as they start discussing ways they could help each other. I just tell people, if you don't come out of that hosting meeting higher than either of them, it just isn't a concept for you.
Wow, okay. Well, I always believe that if you put the other person is the most important person you're speaking with, and so that's when you want to make that connection and learn from others. And so I always say, when I'm in a meeting or a group, I want to find out more about you and how
Absolutely.
I can help you. And a lot of times they think I'm trying to sell them. I'm saying, no, I'm not trying to sell you.
Right.
I just have a lot of connections.
Yep.
I just want to know how can I help you.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Right.
You know another great way that's very unassuming to get to know someone, I call this global, local, personal.
Yeah.
What I mean is, regardless of the industry, this question works.
Mm-hmm.
Ken, you're in the XYZ industry. You know, if you were to tell me today as an expert in that particular field and industry, what are the two or three or four main challenges, problems, opportunities that you're facing today in that industry? And let the person answer.
That's the problem.
Ken, are those the same issues and problems that you at your own company and in your own job on a daily basis that you're wrestling with? Or has your company and you in your role, have you found ways around that? That works for any industry. And you know what else it does, Ken? Makes you a heck of a lot more interesting at the next cocktail party. Because you've really gotten some very high-level information, especially if you're introducing two very highly connected people to each other.
And they never see it come. They were actually, what is the response that you get when you ask people this?
Oh, the response is, remember, you're delving into their industry.
Right.
And, you know, people love to talk about themselves, mm-hmm. and they love if they're asked a question where they're having to stop and think, well, let's see, the main challenges our industry is facing today, of course, a lot of what everybody is, the green energy, the aging population, how do we replace the wisdom of employees that are now retiring? You know, a lot of the issues are the same regardless of the industry, but it's very interesting to listen to the person telling in a more specific way how it's impacting their industry and their company.
All right. So let me throw you a curveball here
a little bit.
I'm a baby boomer. I think both of us are baby boomers.
I'm the front end.
There's Generation X and Y. You've got these people now. I don't know what generation we're calling them now. I'm not sure exactly. But how can this help young people? What is there a special message?
Oh boy, is there ever! I've been doing programs the last 3 years at the business school at Georgia State, and it started out where the only message that I was really telling them was, regardless of what field you go into, I'm now telling you, you have another industry that you are involved in. You are in the executive search business. And from this point on in life, one of your roles and one of your jobs is to constantly be on the lookout for people who are exceptional at what they are. Your age, 10 years above, 20 years above, you read an article, you hear a speech. It's your job to follow up and follow through. Now, this is a great point to bring out. Remember I said earlier that I make a strong distinction between the terms follow up and follow through?
Correct.
Follow up is a time-related concept. You meet someone, you write notes on the back of his or her business card if they really impressed you, you email them either that night or the next day, and in that email, critically important, you put a couple of points that really impressed you about your conversation, especially something that they said that was helpful to you. Then, within the next 24 to 48 hours, you call up, and you either set up a one-on-one meeting to get together, have a cup of coffee, have a breakfast, doesn't have to be expensive, or you call up and you say, Ken, you know, based on our conversation last night, I thought of someone who I think you would really benefit meeting, and I'd like to host a meeting to introduce you. Ken, would you send me your bio and some more information on your company? I'm going to send that on to Joe Jones and with a note as to why I think the two of you would really benefit meeting, and then I'll float out some dates that will hopefully work for both of you.
Yeah, somebody says, oh, somebody's interested in me. This guy's trying to help me out.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so now here's the difference, though. The follow-through is the quality and the creativity with which you follow up. Let me repeat that. Follow through is what separates the most successful people from the C-plus and the B average people. They are the A's and the A-pluses. What do I mean by the creativity and the quality with which you follow up? What I mean is, instead of you and I meet last night and we get into a conversation on leadership, and I send you the Colin Powell slideshow on leadership. Now, I could just send you the slideshow, which is, 20-some-odd slides long, or I could send you the slideshow and I could say, you know what, the slides, it's an excellent slideshow, and I hope you'll go through the whole thing. But, Ken, the 4 points in that slideshow that were most impactful to me were bullet point, bullet point, bullet point. You do that with any article you send one, with a slideshow. What you're trying to do is to let them know that you want to help them get into this. And that's the creativity that you're using to, in essence, strengthen the help that you're giving them. You see the difference?
Absolutely. Let me play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
There's a few steps involved in really helping somebody out. How much time does it take to become a master net weaver?
Well,
follow up with the steps and follow through with.
Unless you're in business development, you can't host 3 or 4 or 5 meetings a week. But, you know, as busy and as many hats as I wear, I try and host a minimum of 1 and usually 2 in-person hosting meetings a week. And you know what I always try and do? I always try and host a meeting on Monday. My wife and I live up in the North Georgia Mountains, so my first appointment usually is lunch on Monday. You know why I try to host a meeting on Monday?
Is that an administrative day for you?
Nope.
Okay, why is that?
Because when you walk out of that net weaving meeting, if you truly are a net weaver, your energy level and your passion has just gotten a jolt because you're feeling, once again, terrific about having put these two people together and watched them find ways to help each other and discover people they know in common. So I especially recommend that to someone who's in a job search mode because, as we all know, one of the things that's the toughest when you're in, especially an elongated job search mode, is how do you keep that positive mental attitude?
Yeah.
Well, net weaving is absolutely one of the best ways to do it. Now, the second thing, though, is for every 1 meeting that I host in person, I host 5 to 6 where, just like you and I are in the phone right now and we're having a talk, and I say, ooh, you know what, Ken, I just thought of someone you really need to meet. And, you know, it's tough getting 3 people together, so it's more important the 2 of you get together. Send me your bio. I'm going to send that on to Mary along with a note as to why I think the 2 of you should get together. And not if, but when the 2 of you get an appointment scheduled to meet with each other, let me know the date and the time. And if perchance I don't have an appointment or am not, you know, I'm in town, then I'd love to be there. But it's more important that the 2 of you get together. Now, for every 1 that I am there in person, I schedule another 5 to 6 meetings where I'm just helping connect 2 people. Now, they may not actually get together. They may have a telephone conversation. But the fact of the matter is, the more you get comfortable with this idea of connecting people, and not just doing it, here's real important, you're not just doing it to get 5 or 6 meetings set up. You are doing it because you genuinely have either figured ways that they really will benefit meeting each other, or they're just 2 really, really interesting people, good friends, and most importantly, they're givers and not takers.
Okay. You mentioned trust before. How does net weaving build trust and really create these meaningful relationships?
Well, you know, if you were to think of the process of building trust, Ken, and you were to think of any situation where you go in and meet someone for the very first time, isn't there a little bit of a, what I would call, an uncomfortable feeling when you're trying to get the conversation started, and it usually starts with what I call the small talk stage?
Right.
But with many people,
what is it you do? Who are you?
The weather, sports in Atlanta, the traffic,
yeah.
Okay, or the economy now, or now the elections. But the point of the matter is you're looking for some hook to actually get a more comfortable feeling and just get the conversation going. Well, for many people, unfortunately, it's so comfortable and non-threatening, nothing happens. And if you don't move out of the small talk stage, guess what? The relationship doesn't go anywhere. That's why I recommend that a net weaver is someone who initiates what I call meaningful dialogue. Now, what do I mean by meaningful dialogue? It's exactly what I told you about with global, local, personal. It's a conversation where there's learning and growth involved, where I'm asking you a question that actually it raises appreciation for me when I ask you that question. Ken, in your own industry, you know, what are the two or three or four main trends and issues, challenges that your industry is facing today? You, by answering that question, actually are raising appreciation and acceptance for me by my having asked that question. But this is also the point, when you get to that level where you've exchanged information and there's learning and growth being exchanged on both sides, that's still where most relationships die, because once again, nobody follows through. But what net weaving does in its concept and in its structure, it does two things. One is it keeps the process going, because what are you going to do after you've had that initial conversation? You've got to test now. Remember, you have to answer. What is the next step? You're going to either offer to get together and have a cup of coffee or a lunch or a breakfast or whatever, or you're going to jump right in and say, you know what, Ken, as you and I were talking, I just thought of somebody who you'd really benefit meeting, and I'd love to host a meeting to introduce the two of you.
Sometimes you could do it really, really in the networking event that you're at sometimes.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's what creates trust. That's what creates the bond that accelerates this whole process of how do you get trust. But, you know, Ken, once you've got trust, does not mean you've got it for good. And this concept would not have worked 10 years ago, before the Internet was as easy to use as it is today and as prevalent.
Okay.
Because I couldn't keep up with the number of new meaningful relationships that I'm making literally on a daily basis if it weren't for the Internet.
Wow. Let's talk about, you've written two books, The Power of Net Weaving.
Actually three. I just wrote the third book.
Oh, okay. So we can talk about that a little bit. We only have 5 minutes left, unless you want to stay on a little bit longer. But you mentioned the first book was The Power Net Weaving.
Power Net Weaving.
And that was about your three key
the skill sets.
And then you have the heart
of net weaving. And I'm glad you mentioned this, because this is also the book that can be ordered off the website. But 100% of the $20 from this book, thanks to Xerox, who prints it, goes to any charity that wants to use it for fundraising. And since I chair the Pay It Forward Foundation out in California, if there isn't any specific charity that it goes to, it does go to help support them. I also am a great supporter and a champion of junior achievement as well. But the reason I wrote the second book, and this is very important, Ken, I was out on the speaking circuit after the first book, and all of a sudden I noticed something. I noticed that people, even who'd known me for 10 or 20 years, started relating differently to me. And what I started seeing is that there's one thing to become good at the skill sets, but when you become an ambassador of this concept, because it's not rocket science, remember, it's just the golden rule. It's just helping someone else with the confidence and the absolute belief that what goes around truly will come back around. And so what I didn't realize, it does two things. One, it elevates your image in other people's eyes. And secondly, as I said before, it energizes you. You know, I have people who saw me when I was just getting started, and now they've seen me 4 or 5, 6 years later, and they say, Bob, you know what? I saw you when you were just getting started, and I got to admit, you're a whole lot better than you used to be. But, you know, part of that...
Did they recognize you? I'm surprised they recognize you.
Well, it's a part of that is the passion that I've got now, because I've seen how this concept has not only had an impact on me and my business, but how many other people tell me it's had the same kind of impact on them.
So if we want to order the book, The Heart and Art of Net Weaving, how do we get that?
You just go to netweaving.com and just you click on the book that's shown there, and then you use PayPal account and just charge it on a MasterCard. Now, the newest book that I have, called Raising Your R&R Factor, How Referrable and Recommendable Are You, this book I wrote because, Ken, I got to be real honest, for some people, they were complaining that they had done net weaving for the last 6 months after having heard me talk and weren't seeing much, if anything, come back around. Mm-hmm. And after I eliminated some reasons why they might have been doing things wrong, and still couldn't explain exactly why it wasn't coming back around, it finally hit me. Some persons are not different, differentiated, unique, qualified enough for people to recommend and refer them. Because what is a recommendation and a referral in the eyes of the person making it? It's a risk, isn't it?
That's right.
And am I going to risk my reputation if I don't feel that you are qualified or outstanding at what you do? And so that has led to a series of workshops now on creativity and especially in working with people on their, quote, elevator statement that in many cases, I got to be real honest with you, are pretty terrible because people are a little bit too glib and cute as opposed to listening to what the other person's needs are and then somewhat tailoring their description of what they could help this person with based on what they're hearing the other person say they need.
Okay. All right, then. So the title of the third book is, again,
The Raising Your R&R Factor, How Referrable and Recommendable Are You? And once again, that's also available for purchase on the website. And also, I might add, Ken, that I've recently developed a certification course, a NetWeaver Diplomat Certificate that's an e-book, and that that can be ordered as well online. That is a certificate course that's $49.95, and then you get, assuming you get a 90 or higher on the test, then you get a certificate saying you're a NetWeaver Diplomat.
So hopefully from this conversation that we're having, I can take it and other people can take it and maybe have a chance to score in the 90s.
I was going to say my goal, Ken, is to create an army of people out there, not just who are practicing the skill set, but who are teaching this. And teaching everything from net weaving to an all-black school in South Atlanta, Whiteford Elementary, that I've adopted. And I every year now teach a full assembly of third graders, net weaving and pay it forward. And I'm teaching, as already said, at the MBA level, showing recent grads how to take the concept and how to supercharge their career by learning how to host meetings for people 10, 20, 30 years above their own age, using their age actually as a weapon.
That's excellent. You delved into something that I wanted to close out and ask you question about success stories. What are some of the success stories that you have besides raising your passion level, and what else that you'd like to share about on net weaving?
I guess the story I'd like to end with is when I did this program for Whiteford Elementary, I didn't really know. I told the kids, kids, net weaving is just all about introducing your friends to other friends and then challenging them to pay it forward and do the same thing, even for some kids that neither of you know. And then I did three exercises. First, I had the kids stand up, introduce themselves, and I did no coaching. And you can imagine 8 and 9-year-olds, it was a mess. Second time, though, we went through and they had to stand up, shake hands, good eye contact, and say their name so everybody could hear it. And then the last one, I asked for volunteers, and I had about five little boys or girls come down, and they had to pick out one of their best friends, bring him or her down, and then the two of them had to pick out someone that neither of them knew. Well, it was a home run. And 2 weeks later, a poster size envelope arrives, and the kids had made these posters and written me personal letters. I'm net weaving so-and-so, and I'm paying forward to so-and-so. And I just got to tell you, of all my success stories, I now go in every year at the school, and I go back into, this year I went back into the fourth grade class, and I was a cult hero, okay? It stuck. And then I redid the program in the third grade, and every year I'll be doing that again and again. And we've now created a net weaving pay it forward council. I've got one kindergartner, one first grader, one second grader, two third, two fourth, and two fifth graders. And since I chair the Pay It Forward Foundation, we're getting grants to kids who come up with ideas that are consistent with the Pay It Forward concept. somebody does a favor for you instead of paying them back, instead of being paid back, you have to pay it forward and do a favor for someone else.
So it appears that young people and older people can learn this net weaving concept.
There's no limitation on ages. It only has to do with how big your heart is.
And you mentioned there is a Pay It Forward Foundation.
Yeah, I co-chair the steering committee, and if you will go to www.payitforwardfoundation.org, it was a very, very popular movie, actually based on a book called Pay It Forward, and the lady who wrote the book, Catherine Ryan Hyde, has given me permission to call NetWeaving the business version of Pay It Forward, because what we do is we host a meeting to introduce two people to each other, and we find out that between 8 and 9 out of 10 people at the end of the meeting, when you've, as the net weaver, have sat back and just listened, one or both of the people at the end of the meeting say, "Bob, this has been great. Gosh, we found ways to help each other, people we realize we know in common. But how can we help you?" And instead of saying, "Well, you could do so-and-so," say, "Well, why don't you just pay it forward and do the same thing for two other people?" But you want to know the good news? Even after that, they'll agree. They'll still say, "Bob, we'll do that, but seriously, how can we help you?"
Wow, okay. And that foundation website again is?
Pay It Forward Foundation, the payitforwardfoundation.org.
Is it the Pay It Forward?
The Pay It Forward Foundation.org. Well, either of the two. I can't remember right now which it is. I only type it in about three times a day.
Okay, no problem. We'll get that, and I'll put that on the website too.
That's great. You can link it from my website as well.
Okay.
If you go to links.
So we're wrapping up here. What would you like our listeners to learn from our conversation?
Well, the one thing I would like to do, I would like every listener to go take the free quiz. If you like the concept, and if you truly believe that you are a net weaver or have the potential to be, then I would love them to first host a meeting. And I recommend that you host a meeting to just introduce two friends to each other. And at another thing that can be printed out from the website is a free copy of the Net Weaver's Creed. It's once again at the very bottom right-hand corner. You click on that, you print it out. And I would recommend printing out two copies and handing those to the two people, because it will help set the tone for it's all about how can I help you as opposed to what's in it for me.
All right, then. Thank you, Bob Littell. Thank you so very much. I've been wanting, ever since I started the show, I wanted to have you on, and I'm honored that you spent a little time to share with the listeners.
Well, great. Great questions, and I hope that, once again, anybody who has a question, they can email me at bob@netweaving.com.
All right, then. Thank you very much. And Bob, before you go, you have an organization in Atlanta, Georgia, don't you?
Well, there are several organizations that I've helped launch. There's one, believe it or not, that started in Dallas, Texas, that is made up of CEOs of major companies called the CEONetweavers.org, and it was launched in Dallas, Texas, and has now over 300 members, 200 of which are running companies, $25 million or more of annual revenue, and major sponsors like Jones Day Law Firm and Bank of America. And I've helped start a chapter here in Atlanta as well, and we've actually raised the bar to $50 million of annual revenue, and we've got some – it's net weaving to qualify as a CEO. It's not just having a company of that revenue. It's being a servant leader in addition to net weaving. You've got to walk the talk.
Wow. Okay. But there's also another organization, because I just joined it.
Meetups group.
Yeah.
And that's the Pay It Forward Net Weaving group. And you can join that by going to meetup.com.
All right. Meetup.com. And the next event for the
Pay It Forward is July the 7th. Right. Great.
All right, okay. Thank you so very much.
Well, I'll see you on July 7th and hope we see some other listeners. Thanks so much.
All right. So what have you learned? That's the show. What have you learned, and how are you going to apply it? Specifically, what action steps are you going to implement to improve your business and increase your profitability. Perhaps it's becoming a master net weaver. Take that test. Go to www.netweaving.com. That's www.netweaving.com. Check out those books, The Hard and Art of Net Weaving, and his new book. It's on the website, www.netweaving.com. That is the show. Until next time, I want to pass on a couple of things to you. Be great. Dare to be great. Be remarkable. Be extraordinary. And above all, stay profitable. Become a master net weaver. Thank you so very much for listening in. Brian Hunley, New Wine Music, take us out.